of portions of the mine. Inspectors found excessive explosive coal dust, inadequate ventilation, inaccurate safety logs, malfunctioning water sprayers, and the illegally operating mining machines. Some of these conditions existed at Massey's Upper Big Branch mine last year, just before it exploded. 29 mine workers died. CEO Baxter Phillips says he's disappointed by the Randolph violations and ordered the mine to focus on safety practices and training during the three-day shutdown. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
Marine mammal specialists are caring for some of the 16 pilot whales found stranded in shallow waters off the Florida Keys yesterday. Two whales have died. Veterinarians are now monitoring six others that were relocated to a temporary sea pen. The team is still searching for the remaining whales with the intent of moving the survivors to a marine mammal conservancy site in Key Largo. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Cargill, an international producer and marketer of food, agricultural, financial, and industrial products and services. Cargill.com.
The Beastie Boys have their first album out in 4 years, called Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from the Beastie Boys themselves. Join us.
Today at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on AM 580.
From Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM, 90.9 FM HD3, and online at will.illinois.edu. This is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producer for the program, Harriet Williamson. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Well, it's the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus. And Jim Keel is here with me in the studio, and Carol Lindholm is about to arrive. They're dog trainers. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Jim and his wife raise Malamutes. Carol has a golden and a doodle. Listeners, your phone calls and email messages about dogs are welcome this morning. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Jim, good morning. Good to see you again.
I'm all alone in the end zone.
No, you're not.
Oh, here's Carol.
Carol is arriving.
She was busy parking.
Yeah. $50 fine to park in your lot.
If you park in the wrong spot, or if you park in a spot and you don't have the right documentation, you're in big trouble.
Well, I parked it.
Let me see your papers.
That's right.
Wow, that's so steep.
Let's take a call.
Oh, wow.
A listener in Indiana, line 4. Hi.
May overlap. I have a black Labrador. Beautiful dog, friendly and all that. You know, sometimes more friendly, especially with little children. I have to watch him and he doesn't, you know, get so exuberant he jumps up on him, knocks him over. But he has picked up some bad habits from two dogs next door to me. And that's barking at God knows what. I've gone out and looked. I finally figured he's just barking at scents that are, you know, still left over. But I fast discovered that if you yell at him, he just thinks you're yelling right with him, you know, and it gets louder. So if there's some kind of hints there. And the second thing is a new family has moved in next door and have three little girls who really like him, but he is making sure the hearth and hearth is not penetrated in any way whatsoever. So I've got him now on a special setup that he can only get so close to their fence. And I was wondering if there's anything there I can do. The one thing I did try turned out terribly wrong, and so I think I better get some professional advice to some extent. I tried my trainer, but there's only one now in a large area where I live, and it'd be several weeks before they even, you know, think about doing a generalized training with him. Plus, he's almost two and a half years old, and beyond a lot of things I would imagine to bring into his environment. But those are the two questions I'm asking about.
Okay. I think we hear him in the background.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, he, in a sense, has become the leader now of the barking. And very little I can do unless I find something to, you know, take his attention from it. And I don't want to turn him into a 150-pound black lab because he'll certainly shut up if you give him a treat. But I don't want to do that. And I've just been trying to be around him and thinking perhaps my calmness would help calm him. It didn't work a bit. So far it hasn't, at least.
Where is he right now?
He's right now. He's in my backyard, barking at the two dogs next door, who have trained him very badly about barking at everything. Leaves falling, you know, and birds flying overhead, and they re-energize each other. It's a mother-daughter, and that is some concern because yesterday, for example, he barked for almost 15 minutes straight. I would have thought his throat had given out, but. This black lab is still in there. And the main thing about next door where the three girls have showed up is that he charged the fence one time when they were close to it. And so I don't let him get him over there anymore, but I'd like to eventually work it over there so we could let him loose in the backyard again, free of a cage. But basically I control my, you know, parameters. He's in my area of the backyard.
How do you do
Those
that?
Are the two things.
How do you control the parameters?
Well, I have it's a large T-shaped stainless steel bar with a hunk of concrete in the bottom. But the only way you can move it is to roll it with the upper arms. And I place it in different places with one end of the cable wrapped around it, and the other part of the cable is snapped onto its collar. And it gives him a, you know, certain diameter circle he can roam around in. And I let him up to the fence where the other dogs are because he does a lot of whining and stuff if he can't get to them. And they do their mouth-snapping routine or something like that for a while. And that used to turn into running up and down the fence faster than, you know, the left. But I've stopped that since I got him on the cable. That may add some frustration. I don't know. But if the mailman shows up or if the meter man shows up, we have to be prepared ahead of time if at all possible because he really goes crazy. And the vet says, well, that's not uncommon with labs. They protect the horse and the hearth. And he certainly, you know, puts all his effort into that.
Well, what you're asking is to train a dog to do things when you're not there. And
yeah.
That's a challenge at the best of times and impossible at the worst of times.
Yeah.
What you should not do with a barking dog is yell at them because as you've noticed, the dog thinks you're barking along with him.
Yeah.
And they very rarely think, oh, I'm being yelled at for barking
because
they don't you know, associate those two things. So just stop that yelling because it's, you know, it just makes you upset and doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite clear on what he does with the girls next door.
Oh, well, they moved in, and I heard this tremendous barking. I went down, and he was at the end of the, you know, the tether. He drugged the steel T-shaped thing with concrete, in fact, at a few feet. And he was barking at them and lunging towards the fence that separates the two. They're very young girls, you know, we're talking maybe four, five, and six, maybe three of them.
Yeah, well, that can't be good. Does he know sit and down and those kinds of things?
Now, here lately, when nobody's in the back over there, he'll sit on the patio.
No, I mean sit on command. What you say
yes,
sit,
he does that.
He said,
yes,
okay.
Yeah.
If he starts doing that again, what you want to do is have him do something he knows how to do, like sit or down.
Okay.
And so you can praise him.
Yeah.
And try to change his mood. One thing I think you can do with him to at least keep his barking down a little bit, there are toys that you can get where you stuff food in them and the dog, you know, kind of plays with it trying to get the food out.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is grab a whole handful of kibble, you know, his regular dog food.
Yeah.
And show it to him and throw it out into the lawn.
Yeah.
And that will occupy him for a while mm-hmm. he tries to find the food.
Yeah.
And he won't be paying any attention, we would hope, to things that are going on. With regard to the other dogs, there's somewhat of a danger of that, in that he might, you know, want to protect his food, so you wouldn't want to throw it close to where they could even intimidate him.
Gotcha.
But, you know, scatter food or find toys that he's interested in, scatter those around. In other words, that isn't really training the dog, but it will occupy his canine mind while you're not around.
Okay.
And again, training a dog when you're not there, if you have a robot, and I've actually seen that done with people outside, and you have a, kind of a robot or just a camera or something to see what the dog's doing. But you can train a dog to sit if you're standing there, but if you imagine trying to teach your dog to sit while he's in the backyard and you're, you know, watching TV, you can't do it. But if he seems overexcited and you want to stop him from barking, I would go out and have him sit down and do a little routine of things that he knows how to do.
Okay.
So that you can get his mood back to, you know, calm kind of mood. Barking is a problem. I read somewhere, and this was a few years ago, but somebody once timed it. It was angry because the neighbor's dog was barking, and he timed it, and the dog barked for something like 8 hours nonstop. I mean, so if you say, oh, gee, he went on for 15 minutes, that's a long time. Don't get me wrong, but he probably had another couple hours in him if he really wanted to go. There are, you know, other little tricks. The males don't bark very much. They howl, but they don't bark. But some people have said what's good to do is to train your dog to bark on command. And the reason is when you go tell a dog not to bark, it really doesn't mean much to the dog.
Yeah.
First of all, they don't understand that they're barking. They just do it.
Yeah.
And secondly, not doing something if you ever see a little kid and if they're saying, if you say, don't do this, they hear the word don't and then do this. And so they do it.
Yeah.
Because the concept of not doing something is a little foreign. Because, you know, why? You know, your dog isn't killing an elephant. Are you successfully training him not to kill an elephant? No. So train him to bark so that you can train him to stop barking. So he understands bark, bark, I understand that. And then you can give him a signal, stop barking. And when he stops barking, I'd reward him with a toy or something like that.
Okay.
So that when he sees the toy, he associates this toy with not barking.
Okay.
With the Malamutes, they don't like toys. They don't like sticks. So I haven't done that. But, I've read about other people that have.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Because they have, a dog that's a retriever and, you know, they like toys.
Yeah.
So you can try those things. But I would worry if he's rushing the fence with the little girls, that can be a problem. And you might want to invest in another, in a kennel run or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see him hurt the kids. And you don't want to see it either because it would mean the end of him.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot. A lot of ideas there. I'll try them all out.
Try them.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. Our guest today, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with questions, comments about dogs. 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, and the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. How about some resources for that caller in terms of a good basic book on dog behavior and a good basic book on training?
You know, there's one book that I really, really like. It's been revised, but it's called What All Good Dogs Should Know. And
who wrote it?
Volhard.
Oh, yeah.
With a V-O-L-H-A-R-D. I can't remember the name of the other. Stop it.
What?
I can't remember the name of the other author. But it's very good, common sense, practical advice that dogs and what all good dogs should know. And it gives you examples that dogs need a job. They like to have something to do. And I love Jim's suggestion about throwing the kibble or the toys in the yard. It gives him a different purpose than going out there to bark, because barking's self-reinforcing. I don't like
tethering. That's a good point. I didn't bring it up. It when they bark and anything happens, they take it as a result of their barking. Mm-hmm. And so it's self-enforcing, exactly.
And I have not the similar situation, but our neighbors acquired another dog, and they live kitty-corner from our backyard. And Andy's taken it upon herself, and it's just a tiny dachshund. But she races to the back of the fence to see if she can see this little dachshund, and she just barks and barks. And I just, you know, my dogs love to come when called, and I call them in. I try to be cognizant of the barking and how it interferes with people's ability to sleep early in the morning or in the evening. But she's just decided that this dog needs barked at. And her tail's wagging the whole time. She's not ticked off at this little dog. She wants to meet it, so that's probably what we'll do one day is, you know, meet
maybe
this little one.
She's frustrated that she can't.
It's never clear that dogs know they're barking, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just something they do. You might as well say, hey, you're walking. Quit walking. And the dog would go, what are you talking about? Barking is just something to do. And in fact, some people think that it's their barking that caused us as a group of mammals to take in dogs as our domesticated pets because they bark. And 10,000, 15,000 years ago, that was a very handy thing to have. Now it's not so handy. But alas, we haven't bred barking out of them yet.
Mm-hmm. She's a very protective bark. She lets us know when somebody's walking down the street. And, I try not to discourage that too much. I redirect her attention back to me. When I call her in from barking, it's not punitive. It's, you know, she's thrilled to come back in the house. And then I worry, okay, she's barking and I call her in. Am I reinforcing that barking behavior? But you know what? I think she's smarter than that. Yeah, I don't.
We've got a couple of other callers who are waiting to join us here on Focus this morning to talk about dogs with Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. And next we go to Robinson, Illinois, line 4. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling about the fellow with the black lab. Here in Robinson, we have a training and developmental center for dogs. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called Fallow Woods Canine Training and Developmental Center. It's FALA. And they don't give a phone number, but they give his website. But I see dogs up there all the time, big dogs usually. And when it first came, somebody brought an incorrigible dog from South Carolina that she loved, and she had heard about this particular person. And she brought that dog all the way up here because he can fix any dog. That's my view. So anyway, if you want his website, do you?
I'd love to see his website.
It's Fallow Woods, and this is, you know, small letters and all together, FALAWOODS.com, and then there's a /, home, and then dot, and then HTM in small letters.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
Yeah, we'll look him up.
Yes, look him up. It does not, like I said, give a phone number.
So this is a facility where people take their dogs, leave them, and then come back to get them, and they've been rehabilitated more or less?
Well, this says our services include dog training, boarding, as well as private training classes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Next, we go to a listener in Sidoris, line 1. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I just thought I'd mention I've got several rescue dogs, and I live out in the country. They don't have much to bark at, but when a tractor goes by or something like that, they want to bark at it to chase it away. And believe it or not, this sounds really weird maybe, but what I do is I go out and I sit next to them and I start talking to them in a calm voice. I know they don't understand what I'm saying, but I say, you know, that's a tractor. He's going to work. He's supposed to be there. It's okay. And they understand I'm communicating on a calm level, and they settle down and quit barking and listen to my voice. And it works. Just interesting thought.
Oh, no, I think that's an excellent thing to do.
Yeah. No, it's a sane, practical approach to...
But it underlines the point. You can't train the dogs, you know, or get them to do anything if you're not there.
Right.
You know, you got to go out and say, hey, look at... Don't be so excitable and calm down. And
the point that I guess you guys made, like if you yell at them, they think you're barking with mm-hmm, them. I guess that would reinforce what I do, is whereas I go out and I just talk in a calm voice. And
you have a very calm voice. You're relaxing me as we speak.
Thank you. And it relaxes them, and they'll quit barking. And it's almost like they're understanding what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I think they regard it as you understanding what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying, hey, there's some danger here, and you're coming out and saying, no, there's not any danger. Thanks for alerting me, but...
Yeah, I do thank them. I mm-hmm. actually do. Sure. I tell them, thank you, good dog, it's okay. That's
exactly, you know. Yeah, it's exactly right.
They're doing their job.
So, anyways, I just thought I'd add that, you know, talking in a calm voice sometimes, it may or may not work. It's worked for me some, so.
Well, that's so good of you to share that with everybody.
What kind of rescue dogs do you have?
I've got a yellow lab that's a mix. She doesn't look like she's full lab, so I'm saying she's mixed. I've got a fox terrier yellow lab mix. I've got a beagle basset and then a husky mix.
Well, you got vocal dogs, all three. Three of them are very vocal.
Yeah, they're fun. They're my family. So
they're lucky to have you.
Anyways, you guys have a great day. I'm sure you have more callers, and I love to hear your input even without callers. So
thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this morning. My name is Celeste Quinn. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And we have an email question from a listener in Bloomington, Illinois. We own an American Bulldog Pit Bull mix. She's almost 2 years old, 57 pounds. Was a rescue. While we have been through two levels of obedience training and she's getting better, she still pulls on the lead and we have a hard time breaking her of this. We use a pinch collar when we walk, run with her, but this really doesn't seem to faze her much. She actually does well as long as there are no people, noises, smells, or activity going on to distract her. She's very friendly and wants to check everything out. Do you think this is something she may outgrow with age, or do you have any tips on what we could do to help her improve? We've had her about 8 months. She was in a no-kill shelter for about 6 months before we adopted her, so really had no training while very young. Thanks for your help.
How old is
the dog? Is almost 2 years old.
Mm-hmm. I'd say continue with your training classes by all means. That's always very helpful. So she was in a no-kill shelter 6 months before they got
mm-hmm.
her.
Right.
I don't have any – I can't determine how long they've had her.
8 months.
8 months?
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, you've got a big, strong, powerful combination of dogs. The pinch collar probably really won't be terribly effective with her. So get ready for the eye roll from the person to my left.
Gentle leader.
But I really like the gentle leader, and they can run with her because she can pant. But, you know, I think that would just help her understand that they want her in a certain proximity. So instead of always constantly pulling to – because the joy of life is so great for her, keeping her at their side. Yes, I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to sound pretentious.
Oh, that doesn't bother me.
Okay. So anyway, that would be my first recommendation. Make sure she gets one that fits correctly. Make certain they know how to use it correctly. And they do provide a DVD that's very, very good and clear in their instructions on how they're to be used. sometimes prong collars can be very effective, but I think I would go that route if that were my dog.
Okay.
And I.
Yes. What would you do, Jim?
I, on the other hand, I don't like pinch collars for most purposes, for the same reason I don't like halties or gentle leaders, and that is when you got it on, it works, and when you don't, it doesn't, especially the gentle leader. What I don't think the dog's in any danger. I've only seen one dog on a gentle leader that I thought was capable of hurting itself with it. But to train the dog not to pull, I would first of all put it on a regular, ordinary choke collar or a dead collar, which means it doesn't tighten, and take the dog out for the walk, except you hold on, and I know it's a strong dog. You hold on, and you don't move until the dog stops pulling. It is my firm belief that people teach their dogs to pull them by when the dog starts to pull, we start to move with them. Mm-hmm. And so the dog thinks, well, in order to get them to move, I have to pull them. If the opposite is true, if you hang on to the dog, and if you have to, now I'm big and strong, right? People can't see me, but they on the
Hercules.
Radio. But,
Hercules is in the room.
Yeah, Thor. if you can't hold on to the dog, stand near the railing or something and wrap the lead around it. But when the dog stops pulling, you start walking. And what's going to happen? The dog will start pulling again, and you stop again. And you may do this for a half an hour. But the dog eventually will figure out, if I don't pull, I get to walk. And when that happens, you're golden.
Mm-hmm. And praise when they stop pulling.
Praise them when they stop
pulling. We had a health clinic, and I'll never forgive Jim for this remark. But
forgive me.
But I brought my dogs to the health clinic and came in with Andy, who is so overjoyed to be there. And she was on her gentle leader. He called her a walking rug, by the way.
Is that what I did?
Yes. How did you forget? You killed me. She was like a walking rug. Thanks a lot in front of all these dog people. But anyway, she pulls on her gentle leader.
She does
because
look like a walking rug.
Because she's overjoyed to be there. So I have to take that in consideration, too. I mean, the environment and the stimulation.
If normally she doesn't pull and she pulls, you know,
pulls.
In excitement, that,
I can't
that's,
lie.
That's not a problem. Being a walking rug, I think, is a problem.
There are some awfully beautiful rugs out there, though. Right?
She's beautiful.
Yes, she is beautiful.
I said I can't even remember saying anything. So
you're
cruel.
So surly all
I
the time.
I once said of somebody at the club of their very small dog, I said, you know, the dog's brain is the size of a cherry tomato.
She never forgave you
she
for that.
She still hasn't forgiven me for that. But it was I wasn't trying to insult the dog or anything. I was
no.
My observation was this dog, as small as it is and the brain size it has, is still a dog and has all the characteristics of a dog that like a mastiff that has a brain that's much larger. And how can that be that a small dog with a smaller brain is still a dog? That's all I meant by it, but she took it the wrong way.
We're talking this morning with dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Our conversation will continue after a short break. This is Focus.
Support comes from Subaru of Champaign County, located on Route 45 in Savoy. Dedicated to preserving our planet, the Subaru Assembly Plant in Lafayette, Indiana, achieved zero landfill status, with nothing from its manufacturing efforts going into a landfill. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. SubaruofChampaign.com or 352-4700.
Let's take another call now. This is a listener in Champaign on line one. Good morning.
Hi. I was wondering, I have two Australian Shepherds at home. They're very well behaved overall because I took them to the dog training classes. But the female, who is about 60 pounds, still has an issue apparently when we leave for a couple of hours, you know, to go to a play or something. The boy is fine and never causes trouble, but the girl will get into the garbage and tear up Kleenexes she can get a hold of and do all kinds of things while we are gone. A friend of mine who's a dog trainer had told me a couple of years ago that she was acting out and to make her sit every time before we feed her anything, which we do, and most of that behavior stopped. But when we leave, she still gets into mischief, and I'm wondering if there's anything further we can do besides putting lead weights on top of the covered wastebaskets and that kind of thing.
I think R2-D2 is here. I don't know if you can hear that over the air. Once again, we have a problem of training a dog when you're not there, okay?
Right.
You're
right.
Not there. I don't think this is extraordinary behavior, by the way. I don't think she's acting out. It's just you're not around and the garbage is so tempting.
Okay.
And don't forget, I don't know what it is in facial tissue. I won't say Kleenex because it's a brand name.
Right.
In facial tissue, but... boy, do dogs love it. You know, used or unused, they like to eat it. They like to tear it apart. And so that behavior isn't that odd. It's just that you've done a good job of training her, obviously, because when you're around, she goes, oh, I can't do that, so I'll sit here and be good. And by the way, I'm stalling right now. I'm trying to think of what you could do to teach a dog. And we have our house. I don't know if you're – this way. We have baby gates all over the place, and that's to keep the dogs out. Now, they could easily go through them, but they learn to respect them. And even when we're gone, the baby gates are there and they don't go into the rooms that are forbidden. We haven't had for a long time a dog that went after our garbage, even though the garbage is in plain sight. If we did, it's so hard to train a dog when you're not there. What we would do and what I suggest is we would put a lid on, you know, a dog-proof lid on the garbage or put the garbage where they can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you try that, you know, obviously the dog, if the garbage is in the closet someplace and can't get at it, it won't get at it. What other mischief will she get up to? I don't know.
What about the Kong toy?
I was going to say that the other thing you can do is get you want to get a bone, a marrow bone, or a Kong toy or some toy. And I assume your dogs have plenty of toys.
They seem not interested in toys.
The
first one, the boy we had at first, did have a doll that he loved.
Mm-hmm.
But after we got the girl, you know, maybe a year after we got him, he stopped using it, and the girl just has no interest in anything.
Actually, that's good, because you can give him the Kong toy because it has food in it.
Right.
But you don't want to have just one. I don't want to start any fights. You might want three or four because dogs tend to kind of gather these things together. So we don't want it to become an issue to fight over. And, of course, you want to have them down when you're around, not just when you're not, so you can see how they react.
That's a very good suggestion.
Yeah.
To have it there when they're home, have the Kongs available.
And now we use marrow bones because
– that's what I use.
You know, and the dogs, you know, will spend hours just trying to get the marrow out of the bone. They could have it almost all licked out, and there's only 1 centimeter of it left, and they're still working at it.
I see.
But in other words, put the garbage where they can't get it. I despair of trying to train a dog when you're not around. You could try baby gates to keep the dog away from the kitchen or wherever you keep your garbage, and you can try the Kong toys to, you know, redirect that nervous energy that they have.
Okay, and what are the marrow bones? Are those
just
bones?
Soup bones, yeah. You know, just the femur of...
Not cooked bones, but raw bones.
You want them raw, yeah.
And
right.
I put mine in the freezer. So the marrow is frozen solid, and then I can take them up when they're maybe halfway through or the whole way through, but I put them back into the freezer, and then I use the empty bones, and I'll fill them with peanut butter or something that a spreadable consistency and freeze them again.
Okay.
You got to be careful. What happens around our place is the bones eventually go outside and then they come back in.
Oh, the dogs ant story.
And the ants. You know, where are all these ants coming from? It's coming from the bones. So you got to keep an eye.
Mine don't go outside. If they go outside, they stay outside.
Soup bones. Are those available at places like PetSmart, or do you have to go to a...
They have sterilized empty femur bones. Where do you live? I didn't catch that.
Champagne.
Can I use a store name on the air? Old Time Meat and Deli on Neal Street. They carry bones for dogs there.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And they have them in, they'll cut it to any size you wish. And they're inexpensive, and I have to go there today myself.
Okay. And it's, somebody told me that it's not smart to leave food or bones for dogs when you're not there because something could happen.
Well, it depends on the dogs. Mine don't have any issue whatsoever with my being there or not. I don't like them to have them without supervision, regardless of how safe anything is.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when you have two dogs, you don't want them fighting over any of this stuff.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Why you get a lot of it.
Right.
They might fight over food. These bones are really hard. And, I mean, we got Malamutes, and they can't break them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I want to pick them up because I can't stand that sound. I can just imagine their little teeth crumbling.
Oh, right. Yes.
And and there's a school of thought that people have that they're dangerous to give a dog a raw bone. And that's great. I mean, there's always two sides to everything. The only problem I had was getting one once that was too narrow and too small.
No.
And this is going back several years, but she got that little bone hooked over her lower incisors.
That's because you had it cut, right? It was in
it was like
circle.
A round steak size
yeah, exactly.
bone.
Oh, and wouldn't use any of those. No.
Yeah, and I couldn't get it off. And she was panicking, and we ended up at the vet's office where they had to anesthetize her and cut it off. So the bigger the better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she does love bones, and she's like a buzzsaw going through them.
That sounds great then.
Yeah.
Yeah, every dog's is different, but if the Malamutes can't chew them up, I don't think anybody else can.
Right, most likely. All right, thanks a lot.
Next, we go to a listener on a cell phone on line 4. Hi there.
Hello. I'm a rural letter carrier and run by a lot of dogs. What is it that makes them want to run along beside you in the car? They look like they're just having a ball. Look up at you, and they go, and they go, and they go.
Probably they are having a lot of fun. But come with us back, a million years or 10,000 years, whenever wolves became dogs. When wolves hunt, they really rely on the prey to, run. And if their prey stops, the wolves get confused. In fact, I saw Nature thing or something on TV where about three wolves were chasing a male deer, and he kind of got himself in a corner and he panicked and he just froze, and the dogs kept or the wolves kept running around him and they didn't know what to do.
Oh.
And finally the deer thought, oh, I can make a break, and he leaped over one of them and started running, and they brought him down right away.
And they got it, yeah.
So and
be glad you're not a deer.
They've observed up on Royal Island or Isle Royale up in Lake Superior, there's a wolf colony up there, and they have moose up there as well. And they've noticed that the moose that stand their ground against the wolves always win because the wolves won't attack them if they're standing.
Oh.
So, again, come forward a few hundred thousand years, and now we have dogs, and they still have that in them. In fact, in the training club, when we teach a recall to teach the dog to come to us, we take advantage of that by running away from the dog in order to get them to move a little faster. Because if something's moving, a dog just can't really help it. They chase it. Now, some can help it, but most can't. So, if you're driving by, I'm sure the odor coming from your truck, you probably deliver a lot of cookies and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
What?
The dogs like the smell.
That is the most inane comment. I never thought of a mail truck filled with cookies.
I think about it all the time.
Did you ever thought of that, Celeste? Seriously?
I don't know, but no. you are a familiar, vehicle.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're – people think that when wolves are attacking or dogs are attacking that they're angry and they're No, they do this for
scare the drivers of the vehicles.
They're having a lot of fun, That doesn't mean they're not after you. It just means that they're having fun doing it.
Yeah, well, there's...
That's comforting.
There's some that... There was one I had on one route I was doing for quite a while, and he would sit up in the yard and watch it. And the minute you shut the mailbox door and started to pull away, if you'd wave at him or something, he was right there alongside. But like I said, they just look like they're having a ball when they're doing that.
Well, they're having a ball until they get hit by the vehicle they're chasing.
That'd be bad.
That would be bad. That's...
Yeah, but a lot of them will stay right down in the ditch, you know, not up in front of the car or by the car, but...
Well, I had years ago, I had a neighbor who was a mail deliverer and out in the rural area, rural Mahomet. And he had a lot of sad stories. You know, he didn't try to hit animals, but a lot of dogs will hide in the weeds alongside the road.
Yeah, and pick you up as you go by.
Yeah, try to attack, you know, grab the wheel or the tires or something, and they end up dead. So, and he tried to keep an eye out, but it was just, he allowed us to how it was very difficult.
Yeah. Well, thank you much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call this morning. This is Focus. Our guests today, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindham of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. This is Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn, and we talk about dogs here on the program in the 11 o'clock hour on the first Friday of the month. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, if you'd like to talk with us, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Before we run out of time, no one waiting to talk with us at the moment, I wanted to mention that tomorrow is the Mutt Strut.
Tomorrow is the Mutt Strut. There's still time to pre-register, I believe, at $25 for the walk. On the day of the event tomorrow morning, it's $35. Mm-hmm. But for that amount goes directly to the shelter as a donation. They have wonderful events planned for tomorrow, rain or shine. So since the forecast is kind of
rain.
Vague right now,
no.
I'd rather prefer vague, okay? Then it'll be there, and I hope to be there myself tomorrow.
So just bring your... Bring your dog on a lead.
And they must have, proof of rabies and so forth. Yeah. No retractable leads.
Put on a raincoat and come on out to the park.
It's a great event.
It's at Hessel Park. Check-in opens at 8:15, and then there are all kinds of activities. The walk around the park begins at 9:10 and 9:30. There's all kinds of activities.
And we're going to have a lure course, which is hugely – I shouldn't say we – There will be a lure course, which is hugely popular.
This is L-U-R-E,
lure. They chase it's kind of like how they have a little mechanical device that takes a item and it races around this course. And the dogs, talking about chasing, the dogs invariably, regardless of the breed, just delight so in chasing this, like a greyhound.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same type of thing.
Essentially, it's a rotor.
But dogs that you wouldn't think would even care to chase, they get caught up in it, and it's so much fun. And I do believe the owners enjoy it just as much watching a new skill develop that they hadn't realized their
dog
had.
It's a little ribbon that goes around and around.
Yeah, and it's extremely popular. And face painting, what am I thinking? The dogs paint.
Paw painting.
Paw painting. And I think they're doing
bobbing for treats.
Well, I think the bobbing for hot dogs kind of failed because the hot dogs sink. Trying to remember what happened with that.
Yeah.
But
well,
there's all kinds of activities, not to mention the fact that you'll be out in our beautiful Hessel Park with tons of dog lovers and animal lovers. So it's a good event.
Yeah, and there's going to be Linda Case is going to be there doing a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
She's with she is Autumn Gold Dog Training.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good things tomorrow.
Lots of good things
at Hessel Park.
Tomorrow we're having you want to take a call?
Yeah. And Jason Croft, our technical director, said that his dog loves bobbing for hot dogs. So he just dives there.
Maybe they didn't sink.
I don't know. They did sink, he says.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so let's take a call. This is a listener in Urbana. Line one, hi.
Hi. First of all, I really enjoy this program. This is wonderful. But I have a question, sort of referring to my own guilt. I have a dog that we got as a puppy from a shelter, and he grew up into a 100-pound pit bull. I love him to death, but when I'm not home, he really enjoys basically tearing the house apart. And the people at the shelter told me I shouldn't feel guilty about leaving him in a kennel during the day. Because when I am at home, like on a Saturday, if I'm out gardening or if I'm in the house working, he really sleeps probably 9 or 10 hours of the day. But I still feel really guilty leaving him in a kennel during the day. So I was wondering, do you have a suggestion for this behavior? He never chews anything up.
So what does he do when he tears it up?
What he will like to do is very gingerly pick up all the cushions from the couch and throw them around. But like I said, he's a 100-pound dog. He runs into things sort of like this bucking bronco type.
When he's carrying the pillows, he runs into things? Or when he's just...
Well, first he'll remove all the pillows, and then he will jump around sort of like a bucking bronco on top of everything and just knocks everything around.
Well, you're like very lucky that he doesn't chew things
chew
up.
Anything.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. He has the ability to chew, too. I had to stop giving him bones because he cracked his own tooth.
Yeah, yeah.
Chewing those. So we're strictly with the Kongs and Nyla bones now.
Well, you know, dogs get bored, too. The fact that it's not destructive is good. I have come home to many items strewn throughout the house, but not one has been harmed. It's just something they do, and they're probably laughing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Look what I was able to do. Leaving them in a kennel all day, yes, you will feel guilty. And I think anybody that really does love the dog feels guilty, but it comes to a point where it's either you are able to protect your belongings or put them in a kennel, which makes it a nice place to be.
Eh, you get used to it.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
I would feel so bad if my dogs didn't. They come to me with pillows. Every time I come home, they have certain pillows, throw pillows off the couch. And I would feel so bad if they didn't do that. And I guess it's because I'm a slovenly housekeeper. I don't really care. But I don't know.
We have two boys that live together, which is odd for Malamutes. And they get limited time in the house because when they do come in, we have two couches right next to you. They spend their time running, jumping on one couch, jumping on the other, running around. And just they'll do that for hours if we let them. And I think it's cute and Robin thinks it's not. But as you're describing this, I'm thinking, oh, isn't this cute? The dog takes all the pillows and puts them around and then starts
– dancing around them?
Yeah. That's
See, I was thinking it sounds
that's puppy play. You know, that's absolutely puppy play.
Yeah, and a year old is still a puppy.
Yeah. And
well, you know, but now he's 5 years old.
Oh.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter how old he is. It's puppy play.
Okay.
I wouldn't – if he's not destroying anything,
Well, I am concerned because, like, previous to this, we had to, you know, I'm sure it's nothing new, but I had to put child locks on everything for reasons you'd said before to keep him out of the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a house full of musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned.
He might want to eat one.
Yeah, that, you know, it would get to that point at some point.
Well, if it hasn't escalated to that point and he's 5 years old, I don't think I'd worry about that so much.
But I keep him in a cage now.
Keep the instruments in a cage?
No. He's in his little kennel most of the day.
Oh, so you're doing that and you feel guilty about it.
I am. That's
sorry, I misconstrued.
Okay.
Yeah,
me too.
Sorry, I must have.
Well, why don't you put the instruments in the cage?
Why would I think he'd put his musical instruments in the cage? But that's what I thought.
You'd obviously have to get a larger but, you know, or a room that where the door is closed and he's not allowed to go in. Yeah, there is a danger, especially do you have a wood clarinet?
I do.
He might eat that.
See?
I used to play
yeah, it was just lucky
I used to
on
play the
part.
Clarinet and long ago. And they would make a wonderful chew toy.
Oh, yeah.
And a wonderful and expensive chew toy.
So when you get home from work, is he excited to see you? Does he appear depressed? What makes you feel guilty?
He's a chronically happy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, never is indignant about anything. You know, I feel, I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to be in a cage.
Well,
therein lies the problem because I think most shelters would be very happy if people were to use a crate as they were intended rather than feel guilty and giving up the dog because it has destroyed the one last thing they could tolerate. And that happens a lot. So
you have to remember this. What? Wolves and therefore dogs are den dwellers. They feel safest and most secure when they're underground.
Maybe that's why he took the pillows and he made himself a little fortress.
Could be. If a dog in a crate, especially if it's an airline crate that's made all of plastic or if it's covered with something, it creates a den for the dog. And that's where they're not really let's go out in the great outdoors and through fields of foam. They want to, if they're going to sleep or be protected, they want it, and the narrower the better. And if you ever saw a place where a dog or a wolf has dug in order to have her puppies, you couldn't get a football helmet inside of it. And they're down there all curled around having their dogs because that's where they feel protected. So your dog, you're feeling guilty at work and your dog is at home going, boy, this is great. I really love this and I can sleep and I got water right here and I got a bone and everything's just fine. So I wouldn't worry about it. In fact, having a dog trained to go some time in a crate is a good thing to have in case of emergency and the dog has to be crated for a while. So it's a wonderful thing to teach the dog. They don't object to it at all and it sounds like your guy doesn't object to it. And so the only problem here is your feeling of guilt. So I would, do yoga or something and get rid of it.
Well, I can't tell you. This is a load off my mind. I really thought you were going to let me have it.
Oh, yeah. Heavens, no.
Right
no.
Now I've got in our basement, we've probably got three dogs that are crated. Now, they're not crated all day because Robin lets them out from time to time. But and they're in fairly big crates, but it's nice and cool and dark down there. And they're dogs that have one illness or another, and we can't let them out. And they're perfectly happy, I think. They've never complained to me.
Yeah. Well, my mom had a dog, and this dog was crate trained. And whenever she felt a little insecure, that's right where she had it for him. So.
She was very
comfortable there.
And it sounds like your guy is happy in the crate.
So
he doesn't seem to mind too much. It's more of me minding. So
you ought to video him jumping around and playing with the cushions and put it on YouTube.
I should do that because I walked in on him and then he looked very embarrassed.
You can make $1 million.
Well, thanks for the call this morning. And we're going to wrap things up now. We've got a couple of calls. Sorry to say we'll have to put those on hold, and hopefully those listeners will call in next month in June already Carol and Jim are back. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month here on Focus in the 11 o'clock hour of the program.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Owens Funeral Home, located at the corner of Elm and University in the historic Trevette Mansion, across from Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Owens Funeral Home, owned and operated by the Owens family since 1925, invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. You'll find us online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Jason Croft is our technical director. Let's take a look now at commodity prices in Kansas City. The May wheat contract is trading at $8.62, up 14. The July contract down 5 at $8.52. May wheat in Chicago, $7.28, up 5.5. July, $7.48.75, down 5.25. May corn, $6.78.75, down 26.25. July, $6.85, down 23.75. September, $6.64.75, down 23. December, $6.33, down 22.75. May soybeans, $13.09, down 10.75. July, $13.13.5, down 8.25. August, $13.12.5, down 8.25. September, $13.02.5, down 10.25. May meal, $3.40.10, down 2.60. May soybean oil, $54.85, down 51. June live cattle, 109.10, down 65. August, 111.45, down 42.5. May feeder cattle, 128 even, down 62.5. August, 131.52.5, down 22.5. May lean hogs, 91.80. That's up 22.5. On to the outside markets, June crude, 99.25. That is down 55. The U.S. dollar, let's go there next on the next screen. The U.S. dollar, 74.64.